listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really pleased to have Dr. Quentin Henning with me once again to give us an update on Novo Resources. It's Novo is trading at around, I saw earlier today, Canadian $1.11, giving it a market cap around $273 million, if my arithmetic is correct. NVO is a symbol, NSRPF. I suppose most of you who have been following this company don't need to know that. You know that already. And you've also been very familiar with Dr. Quentin Henning's views on Novo for the last number of years. So it's really good to have him with us again. He is the co-chair, the non-executive co-chairman of the company. So he does keep track of what's going on and no doubt provides his advice on exploration matters for sure and probably a lot of other things. He is also a member of the board. Thanks for joining me, Quentin.
It's a pleasure, Jay. Pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure, I know, but I know you hardly have time these days to take your breath, so I'm glad you did take a breath and come on with us. I have to ask you this. Novo was having, as was put out in the press, some disappointing production numbers, I think disappointing to the company and to the shareholders for sure. And there was some grade control. It was boiled down, as I understand it, to grade control. And the company was doing, I guess part of the solution was to drill more tightly spaced drill pre-production drill holes. Is that helping at all, do you think?
Yes, look, we're actually just completing a very important phase. We got all of the 10 by 10 holes done in the area that we're looking at mining in the not too distant future. So basically everything that needs to be 10 by 10 drilled so that we have good grade control data, including the fresh rock. This is looking ahead. We now have the assays will take a while to get through, even though we have Chrysos analytic technique in hand. We have a lot of samples too. Okay, we've generated literally tens of thousands of samples here in the past, few months, probably 3 or 4 months, and we see a lot large volume come through every day. I think we'd probably see on the order of 1,000 or 1,000 to 2,000 samples come through a day, but there is a backlog. But we'll get all that data, and that data is absolutely critical, as you say, to grade control and mine planning and so forth going forward. And that's correct.
Mm-hmm. So have you been mining any fresh rock, or is it just oxide so far?
We've all of the rock we've mined, I shouldn't say all of it, I'd say 99% of it is oxidized material. So it's surface stuff. We did get down into the fresh regime. Actually last July, there was a bit of rock, I'll call it transitional. It was, there was still some pyrite and stuff left in it. So that was one period. And then I think around October, November, there was another period where they dipped down into that transitional regime as well. Look, we do know from that trial batch, I think there was like 30,000 tons back in October of fresh material that went through the mill. Recoveries were great. The grades actually were higher in the fresh material, which is a bit of a head scratch. But that's the experience we've had so far.
Yeah. Higher grades might be nice, might be welcomed, I guess. And a little higher cost of mining the fresh stuff. It's deeper down.
Well, it's about stripping at that point, but you got to remember we're kind of progressively stripping anyway, so we've got a lot of that stripping done. Now, when we do get our fresh permit and so forth, we'll have to start laying back in that area, which will mean a few months of stripping, but it's all expected. It's all part of the mine plan.
So you've talked a lot about, the company's talked a lot about a very aggressive exploration program. Was that something that sort of cropped up because of lower than expected production coming from initial production, or would have that happened anyway on the same schedule?
We've been kind of chomping at the bit to explore for quite some time. I mean, that's just, to actually put together this entire mining district and now have both the Beaton's Creek area, but also all of this ground out in the what's called Mosquito Creek Basin to the east. all part of one operation is delightful. We do have members of our exploration team who were part of the Millennium Story back in the day.
Uh-huh.
So they already have kind of a working knowledge of a lot of that terrain. And we've been able to quickly identify a large number of targets. We've announced news over the past, say, 3 or 4 months now about the work we're doing out in these areas, drilling at Parnell, for example, drilling at this area that we call Genie, which is somewhat north, about 2 kilometers north of the mill complex. But we have a whole laundry list of targets, and we're drilling them one by one. We've announced very good results so far, both from Genie and Parnell. I think these could be large discoveries that basically help us build a further mine planning, a further add further years to production. They can also be brought in, so there's a little less pressure on Beaton's Creek. You know, it would be nice to reduce somewhat the tonnage that we have to pull out of Beaton's Creek to keep the mill full by bringing in some other tons. And if we do that, like if, let's say Parnell, we're able to prove up a decent resource there, we can look to try to get that into production by, say, year end, maybe early 2023. That would help tremendously. It's just, you know, it's all part of the bigger picture here. But, you know, ultimately it means more gold and more mine life and more ounces.
Did I hear you say by the end of 2023 it would be a sort of a hopeful target date for production from there?
If all the stars align, we got to get the thing drilled out, and we are drilling aggressively. We got to get a resource put together around it. Fortunately, that Parnell block is on, a lot of it is on a granting mining lease, so that takes that aspect away. But you still have to get operational permits. You can't just, you know, go out and start digging rock. The best estimate we have is, you know, late this year, early next year, we would be able to mine in that area.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, you know, initially this was really a conglomerate gold story. I guess it still is to a great extent, but you also are talking about orogenic targets as well, right? Are those any of those very close to the mill?
Yes. Everything that I just talked about.
Orogenic.
Correct. These are lode deposits. So they're basically, you know, steeply dipping zones, maybe a few meters wide, 5-10 meters wide, that can be bulk mined in an open pit. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they are all within driving distance of the mill. We're targeting the areas that would, you know, make a meaningful impact to our production.
So if they're orogenic, they may have deep roots, I suppose, and maybe longer term potential. But right now your focus is on getting higher grade material to the mill close by.
Yeah, correct. Look, the systems are deep-rooted. There's no question. Millennium, when they were there, drilled significant sulfide resources. I think they had on their books like 1.3 million ounces of sulfide resources.
Uh-huh.
So we do definitely have a lot of sulfide material to look at. That'll probably be down the road. I think Kaz and team are working on a sulfide study right now in the background to look at that longer-term plan of, you know, what potential is there to develop this sulfide?
Mm-hmm. Well, getting back to the conglomerates then, you have this issue that's always been a challenge, and that is the nuggety characteristics of the gold-bearing material. And part of the solution to that supposedly will be your mechanical sorting. And I know you're testing that right now. How's that going?
You know, it's going very well. We've got an anticipated completion date for the test work in mid to late March. So they're testing different size fractions from different samples from many different properties. We got material from Karratha, of course. We got quite a few samples from there. Samples from Egina, Talga, even I think some from Beaton and so forth. So they're going through all of these samples. Crushing, screening, and then sorting the material so that they can put the material through in different size fractions, you know, coarse, medium, fine size fractions.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to get assays out of all the products that are generated and tailings as well to see how much gold is captured and, you know, how effective the sorter is. Right now, visually, just looking at the products that are generated, sounds like it's going very promisingly.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's basically, you know, generating nice low mass concentrates And presumably those concentrates will carry most of the gold that's coming out of these. You know, in fact, the team seems confident now, confident enough to go ahead and decide to deploy the machine out to Karratha after we're done with the test program here at the milling operation. So we got the machine right there next to the mill right now, but soon we will move it out to Karratha to do field testing.
Oh, that'll be exciting. When might we receive some report on the testing sometime soon?
I think once they get all the tests complete in March, they'll give an update, and then it will take a little while to get the assays and so forth from all the fractions, but they'll be quantitative, we'll say, results available within a month or two after that. I think, though, the results from the update, just people be able to see, yeah, these things appear to be working quite well. So,
well, I think that should be a driver for the company, for the shares anyway. I just have to think that if these tests are anything like the earlier smaller scale tests, it will be just amazing. But how much larger are the are these sorting mechanisms compared to what were used earlier in the bench scale tests?
The sorter that we purchased, the one that we own, is a bit bigger than the machine that we were using, say, last. It's kind of a time warp. What was it? It was actually a year and a half ago, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, that machine was down there in a yard in Perth. It was a relatively small machine, but it could handle. I think the belt was like, I don't know, a meter and a half or so wide. This one can do probably on the order of 50 to 100 tons per hour, depending on the size fraction, and speed that you have to operate it. I think, you know, it's very efficient. It's it can certainly handle the tonnages we need. And, you know, as you know, with sorters, you can put sorters in series or parallel and increase your throughput.
And any idea on the capital cost on those? It's just a rough idea.
Yeah, look, the cost of the sorter we purchased was a little over $1 million Aussie. The price of everything's going up here lately, so, you know.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah.
Can't guarantee that's going to be the exact same price, but I would say, you know, it should be reasonable. I can't imagine even if it doubles, you know, that's still pretty reasonable.
And I suppose this is these machines are fueled with oil, with petroleum, I suppose, or how are they?
You run them with electricity that's produced by a diesel generator.
A diesel generator. Okay. Very good. All right. Well, we're really looking forward to that. I guess those are drivers. You'll have probably, you know, that is the results that come out of the sorter. The mechanical sorter will be something we'll want to watch. And then also ongoing exploration news, I suppose, right?
Yeah. Look, the exploration news, you know, and that's where I, like you said at the beginning, where I'm helping mostly. It's very, very encouraging. We've got some news coming out over the next few weeks, very encouraging news release about some gold discoveries. Also, this area that we've kind of, we're sandwiched between two companies, Azure and Artemis, in a new play that seems to be developing that's nickel, copper, and related. We've got the ground next to the Hemi discovery that we're going to drill. We're going to drill those Sinicatoids here in a few months. I think this year is going to be exceptional for our exploration productivity. We're drilling at Malmesbury right now. I think there's a lot of good news coming.
And I guess we'll have to wait on the quarterly reports for the financials and find out how things are going in that regard.
That's right. We'll provide an update of all the production stats in early April. After we've completed the March quarter. Correct.
Excellent. All right, Quentin. Well, thank you so much for being with us and bringing us up to date on Noble Resources. Still one of my favorites. I know it's out of fashion from given the share price, but I have faith that somehow you're going to pull this thing together yet, you and your team over there. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Great time. All right, folks. Well, we do have to go to break, but coming right back will be Frank Holmes. He's going to talk about his new ETF that he launched under the U.S. Global umbrella, having to do with the shipping industry. Very interesting story. Frank's finding ways to make money to take advantage of some of the things that are going on these days, and I think you're not going to want to miss what he has to say, so don't go away. We'll be right back with Frank Holmes.
follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Timberline Resources is a mineral exploration and resource development company focused on gold discovery in the world-class mining jurisdiction of Nevada. The company's flagship Eureka project hosts a significant gold resource and drill-indicated upside potential at nearby higher-grade targets. Timberline Resources trades in Canada under the symbol TBR and on the OTCQB in the U.S. under the symbol TLRS. To learn more about this district-scale asset with exciting discovery potential, please visit www.timberlineresources.co. Voice America programs are now available on your favorite connected device, including Amazon, Alexa, and Google Home. Through streams with Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio, listening to your favorite show is as easy as saying the show name followed by the word podcast.
Hey, Alexa. Play Finding Your Frequency podcast.
If that doesn't work, try adding on TuneIn or on iHeartRadio or on Apple Podcasts.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.